Hi, I'm Alison. Welcome to Dream Chasers Adventures in Happiness, where my band of superhero guests and I share with you tales of daring do, life-changing journeys towards living our best lives. If you're after an injection of inspiration and ideas to live the life that you want and deserve, you're in the right place. Let's dive in. Hi there, and welcome to the show where we serve up conversation, concepts, and belief that it really is possible to create what you crave. If there's something stopping you from pursuing happiness, whatever that looks like to you from a career or lifestyle point of view, the stories and insights covered here are designed to help. Today, I am joined by my awesome friend and client, Dan Gamble. Now, Dan and I actually sat next to each other in the office when he was a graduate and I was an account director, both working for a PR firm in London years ago. We go back 20 years and I've always been around in the key moments of Dan's career and life. Now, over the course of those 20 years, Dan has made some quite major decisions in a bid to build a life of happiness. To name a few, at 26 years old, he left London and moved to Canada as he'd always wanted to expand his horizons and work and live abroad. Shortly after moving, he established and led YVRPR, which is a community of 300 odd PR and comms professionals that's now been going for 10 years. And after his most recent role as head of comms for a media tech company, 2 years ago, he quit his job to launch his own business, DGPR, and also to create space for his other major passion, horse riding. Now, these are some bold moves, but they might be considered even more so given Dan's background, which we're going to get into. So in the light of these sorts of choices, what was it that drove Dan to make these decisions and kind of help him feel confident enough to follow them through? Well, today we're going to talk about the heartfelt values that underpin all Dan's choices and how those values have helped create meaning for him personally and professionally, how they've imbued confidence and helped shape his mindset, and ultimately how they've contributed to his success, because DGPR is almost $1 million business after just 2 years, which is no mean feat in the PR world. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Dan.
Oh, Alison, so good to see you. Thank you for having me.
Lovely to see your little shining face. So sure, can we start at the beginning and can you paint a little picture of your background, just so that we've got a sense of your starting point?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in the northwest of England in the 80s and 90s and had a really, you know, happy family, but I would say a very working class background. Mm. Both parents worked full time. In fact, they still do, and I hope they will retire soon. But there was a real strong work ethic in the family. And, you know, I worked from 14. Selling horses randomly. And then when I went to university and left home at 18, I basically had a full-time job for some of my time during university. So I always had this kind of very healthy relationship with work. And I think it was from this strong work ethic from my parents. But also being a member of the LGBTQ plus community in the northwest of England in the 90s wasn't necessarily fun. Yeah. So much so, in fact, at school that I did spend a lot of time, I would say, relying on emotional intelligence to kind of navigate and pivot through school life. Mm. And I think now, many years later, looking back, I think a lot of what I was doing was kind of dimming who I was in some ways to really get through school life. So I think a lot of those earlier years ultimately shaped what I'm doing now, which is comms and advising people on how to navigate pretty difficult situations. And, you know, gain visibility for stuff they want to talk about. But I think a lot of those learnings came from earlier on.
Interesting. Okay. Mm. Thank you for sharing that. What's always struck me about you, and it's probably partly a consequence of, you know, some of your earlier experiences, is that you've always seemed to be pretty clear about your core values. So the things that are fundamental to your sense of self and well-being and happiness. Can you talk a little bit about the values that are important to you and how they've played a part in some of the decisions that you've made over time in a bid to kind of live a happy life?
Yeah. You know what, Alison, it's so funny you start this by talking about values, because we actually just did our annual strategy meeting with the team. And non-surprisingly, slide two was values and, you know, leading the agency through, you know, what we care about most. And I'd say the one that always stands out to me and is an absolute non-negotiable after many years in the workforce is respect. So respect for each other. We're all pretty different individuals here at the company, but also respect for the clients. And that goes both ways, right? You know, like respecting what we do as, you know, comms professionals and really trusting us. We're very privileged to kind of deal with the situations that we get to work on. Mm. But respect's just a non-negotiable for us. And I think, you know, respect for time and the profession at large, I guess. But I think for me, doing the right thing is another big driving force. And I think as I'm turning 40 very soon.
So yeah.
All of this is... So young. All of this has become a lot more apparent. So more than ever, I think, you know, doing the right thing is really a guiding star for what I do in my work and personal life. Mm. And I think at 26, leaving London to come to Canada, I honestly thought I'd just be here for a year or so. I just wanted to get out of London and try something new and experience something different. But then, you know, when I hit the ground in Canada, I just kept going. And then here I am. 14 years later. But I think when looking at decisions I've made throughout my professional career, I think respect is often the trigger that's, you know, made me move on to something else.
Right. Interesting. I think that's quite an important point because I, you know, with when I talk a lot about values with all of the clients that I work with, because it's inherent in our sense of what's right and wrong and what's good for us or not, as the case may be.
Yeah.
And making decisions, it's quite hard and brave to make decisions based off your values, particularly if they are financial ones, if you're running your own business or you're in a job that you're potentially leaving because something just doesn't gel. It doesn't feel right.
Exactly. And I would say, you know, I'm certainly not someone that jumps jobs historically. My last job I was in for 8 years. The two agencies I was at before that were 3.5, 4 years each. So, you know, I definitely stick personal relationships I hold for a very long time.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm certainly not someone that jumps, but I think there's a line sometimes when you just have to pay attention to it and think, okay, that's the moment where, you know, the line can't be crossed any further. So I've definitely had a few of those. And I think it's interesting too, when we talk about the importance of values. You know, I think when I went out and started the company 2 years ago, it's not as though I was sat on, you know, a bucket of cash that I was very comfortable to kind of dig into for, you know, a year or two if things didn't go right. Like, it had to work. You know, I had a mortgage, I lived on my own, you know, the car, I have a horse. You know, lots of things that cost a lot of money, to be honest. So it had to work, but I was so confident that it would because I just knew it was time, that there was just this moment when I knew it was time to get on with it.
Yeah. And I guess it also, it links back, and again, having known you for so many years, to just your sense of drive. Like you've always had it. And it's, I guess, partly, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it, from an outside perspective, it looks like that sense of drive has always pushed you to make, you know, quite bold choices.
Yes.
And you know, like, live that kind of life. And like, so and to do it when you are investing in your own business, like you said, you might not have had lots of money in the bank that's a nice safety net to be able to keep you going. Having that drive and something to rely to fall back on that you've built up through your life and through your career kind of sustained you.
Yeah. And I think honestly, when I went out on my own, I'd got to the point where I knew how to make things work, right? I think I'd learned enough and I was comfortable enough being scrappy and having a lot of hustle, honestly, to do it. So I think just leaning into the skills that you have, and I would say the best learning for me over the last 20 years or so doing this is that when I'm actually 100% myself, you know, leaning into being who I am as an individual, bringing all of that to what I do at work, honestly, it's my best work every time. Without question. And I think all of those years, you know, hiding and kind of ducking and diving and pivoting through, you know, my younger years to try and fit in, actually my later years, it's the opposite. It's, you know, really just being who I am to add value. And that always works for me.
Honestly, this is something, again, I talk a lot about with people, embracing who you really are rather than contorting to fit whatever mold you think 100%. You have to be in, because you just don't
do your, you know, you're never going to produce your best. You're always going to feel uncomfortable. And it's, you know, and often it's not, our brains tell us that if we don't conform, it's not going to work. You know, it's going to be a disaster. We'll get fired. So, you know, like the idea prevents us from stepping into who we really are. And I remember this vividly in my own personal experience. And you might remember this. So when we were working together, I had this period where I was trying to fit and trying to conform, trying to be more corporate and, you know, and trying to be what the professional. And it just wasn't me, clearly. I have pink hair. I'm an idiot like this. Like I don't, it's just not who I am. And the day that I decided to stop trying to be something I wasn't and to just, you know what, this is it. This is who I am. And I remember walking into IBM's like main office on the South Bank in London, wearing a pair of zebra print trousers and like some kind of weird
Alison,
flashy top.
I remember the day.
And it was hilarious. And I don't know what colour my hair was. And it was brilliant. And I embraced it, but everybody around me embraced it. The client loved it because they saw it as a sign of creativity and kind of, you know, individualism. And it actually meant that it propelled my success because people wanted to know who this weird girl was who was wandering around in very strange clothes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and put faith in my ability to be creative and so put money on the table, and it helped me build my career. And so all of that time I've been trying to be something I wasn't and fit this idea of something.
It doesn't work. No, and I think honestly, I remember that day because I remember meeting you after that meeting in your zebra pants, and it really encouraged me to start to do the same a little, you know, and just be more individual at work. And actually, we've got a team member that is moving on in a little while, and we had a really good conversation yesterday, and the piece of advice I gave her was, please just keep being you, like keep bringing your personality to everything that you do, because it's great. And I think, you know, a lot of people when they enter the corporate world almost, you know, turn into process driven, this is the way things need to be done, and again, it kind of dulls that individual shimmer that people have, and especially in our world, right, it comes people by people and relate to people. So, you know, it's the last thing I think people should do, actually.
And actually, and equally, you know, I've worked with people, you know, in comms and in other sectors where they've been quieter and more introverted and not the kind of all singing or dancing jazz hands that perhaps we we are more like.
We can be.
Be. And, you know, and equally for them, being who they are and embracing that and finding ways to communicate that feel comfortable and right, is equally as important. So it's about embracing just, you know, like who you naturally are and what works for you, and then putting it on steroids, doing it with you know, gusto. Because
100%. 100%. And I think, again, turning 40, I'm having lots of these light bulb moments where I'm like, okay, that makes me happy. So keep doing more of that. So I've kind of made it my mission over the last little while to just do stuff that brings me joy.
Oh, I love it.
And that can be giving back to people. I'm very giving. So a lot of that happens. But also working, but in an environment that I enjoy, with team members that are happy, with clients that get great work and they're happy too. You know, it's creating this happy place where good work happens. That brings me joy. You touched on the horse earlier. You know, I've been riding on and off my whole life, and now turning 40, I'm going shopping and buying one. So, you know, it was time to make that happen too. So, and then, you know, I think I just bring my best self to everything. Because ultimately, I'm in an environment that that works for me and therefore those around me. And I think turning 40 has been a real moment to realize that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that happens for people, you know, it's the times of reflection that give you an idea of actually, you know, am I happy? What is it that makes me happy? Am I doing a whole load of stuff and spending time with people that aren't my people and giving up myself in ways that don't serve me? And, you know, but it's one thing to think it and feel it. It's another thing to make the decision to, do you know what? I'm going to commit to doing only the things that bring me joy, that make me happy. You know, again, bold move, but ultimately, it creates the kind of life that feels awesome.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I wish I'd have done it sooner in many ways. I just wasn't ready to. I think I also made the moves I was making at the right time for me.
Yeah.
So, I have to be very, very careful, because I've given advice when I was much younger to someone. And I was like, well, this worked for me. And they ended up taking somewhat of a similar path and it wasn't for them. So, you know, I think you have to listen to yourself.
Yeah.
And do what's right for you, for sure. And yeah, take some learnings from others, but it's ultimately down to you to make the choices.
Absolutely. So how do you think your values have really impacted your mindset? Particularly, I guess, from an outside point of view, watching your growth and your career path over time, just your sense of feeling confident in the decisions you make.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you ask that, because I think one thing I've always relied upon is my intuition. Mm-hmm. And just knowing when it's the right move or not. Like, I've always had it. And I think I didn't always listen to it, but I think I listen to it now because I trust it way more than I used to. And it's the same when I'm advising clients. Like, my intuition of kind of what result you will get from taking a particular move, it's mm-hmm. always something I've relied on and trusted. And I think now it comes with experience, right? Now I've been doing this for so long, you know, I know what moves create what impact. Mm. But personally, I've just known when something isn't sitting right or gelling the way that it should, and lent into that to kind of to get to the next step.
Yeah. It's I suspect, you know, and you tell me where I'm wrong here, but I suspect that a lot of that intuition, particularly personally on the decisions you make, is born out of you really knowing who you are and living by it. Because if you are, as we've been talking about, if you're true to yourself and you are, you know, you're living by the values that you have, it enables you to trust your gut.
So it does.
And it kind of gives you, it points and gives you the instinct that you know, this is the right path to take.
100%. And I think, you know, when you have that icky feeling when somebody asks you to go somewhere or do something and you're like, oh, I'd rather not.
Yeah.
You know, listen to that. You know, don't, by all means, stretch, right? Don't say no to things if it's an opportunity. And I think, you know, sometimes great success comes from being uncomfortable for a minute.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, definitely pay attention to that scenario and realize that you might need to work through something to get the end result that you strive for. But at the same time, if you just know it's not the right thing to do, don't do it.
Yeah.
And it's something I just really pay attention to.
And I guess it just enables you to take calculated risks, like, you know, setting up your business and leaving a very comfortable job after 8 years, or, you know, even deciding to make the move from London to Canada.
Yeah.
You know, that big decisions. But actually, if you trust your gut and that gut feel says, hell yeah.
Exactly.
You listen to it, it's the right thing.
Yeah. And you're right. You know, none of the decisions I've made were kind of not thought through or wildly left field.
Yeah.
You know, I think when I started the agency, subconsciously, I'd already built it over the last 15 years. Like, I knew what the brand was going to look like. I knew what the values were. I knew the model. You know, I think a lot of firms really stretch employees. They don't have the best corporate culture. There's high turnover. I wanted the opposite of all of that.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew what I didn't want. And that's what I put together. And I think that's what's working for us.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. You know, I think being informed, but not to the point of being overly structured and process driven to the point that it gets in the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's just trusting, like, that internal compass, that internal guidance that just 100%. Kind of leads you in the right 100%. Direction. Mm. Even though sometimes it might be a bit scary.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think people's appetite for risk is different, right?
Yeah,
you know, I think
absolutely.
Some people, you know, really need, you know, information is power for them. So, I'd say use that too, but just also be aware of your mindset and how to push through it to get to what you want.
Well, and if somebody is more risk averse very naturally, they've got to listen to that, because if they take risks, you know, if you try and push yourself too far and it doesn't feel right internally, it's likely to be the wrong decision, you know. So there's always a balance, and it's very individual to the person. But okay, so what does the future hold for you now? Like, as you continue to build a life of happiness, what's likely to be involved?
Well, I think personally, the horse, you know, I think that's going to become a reality this year, hopefully. I think more travel. I think one thing that I've realized is, you know, coming from the UK, moving here, traveling a lot for work across North America the last 14 years that I've been here, and also just enjoying travel personally, that I think that will continue. I think, you know, I'm increasingly spending more time in Toronto and going back and forth from Vancouver. And I think longer term, you know, I can see some more time in Mexico, perhaps, and perhaps some more time back in the UK. You know, I think as the agency's growing, I don't think it needs to be kept within Canada. And I think that, you know, the companies that we work with are global. We work with a lot of partners in other regions. But I just think naturally we're going to start to see growth in those territories that we, you know, are connected to currently. And I think personally, I don't think I'll be in Canada 100% of the time. I think I'll be here a lot of the time, but I think, you know, you'll see me overseas a bit too.
Excellent. Might see you a little more.
There we go. I hope so. Well, and I think COVID also just, you know, locked everyone up for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think after that, and I was traveling back to the UK, I think one of the blessings in a way of the last few years is that people have realized that the working world is very different and it can operate successfully on a new model, right?
Yeah. Absolutely right. You've talked about the fact that you're now, having coming up for 40, you're only prepared to do things that bring you happiness and joy. What advice, you know, would you have, or what perspective do you have for other people, you know, in that vein? Any lasting thoughts,
takeaways? Yeah, I mean, I would just say pay attention to the red flags and the alarm bells. You know, I think when you're, you know, a lot of people end up in a work environment or even a professional situation for many years, just turning the wheels, and then they look back and they wish they'd have made a move sooner, right? And I definitely have a bit of that. However, I'm really happy with trusting my intuition, focusing on my values to get to where I wanted to be. And I would just say, listen to that voice in your head that is asking you to do something a little differently and make the move. You know, go and do what you know is right for you and what brings you happiness, right? Whatever that may be, because life's too short at the end of the day. And I think there's some decisions I've made in the last few years. I've let go of certain things that I used to hold on to. And it's so much easier now just to be who I want to be and do what I want to do. I wish that I've done it sooner, right? So I would just say, listen to the voice and, you know, see those alarm bells and take action on them.
Yeah, it's interesting because it, you know, and I think for a lot of people, you know, and a lot of my clients feel like this, and I think I did to a certain extent before I made the change, is it just feels really, it's hugely daunting, it's frightening, you don't know what's on the other side, it's, you know, it feels like a massive risk. Sometimes people think it feels too late. And actually, the thing I always say to people is that it doesn't matter, the time frame doesn't matter, how long it takes doesn't matter. You know, whether you're talking about career, whether you're talking about lifestyle choices and changes, you know, big or small, you can do it in a time frame that suits you and your own personal circumstances. The most important thing is having an idea of what it is that really is going to fill your cup, make you happy, and start to take very incremental steps towards it. Because that it doesn't matter how quickly or slowly it goes, just by taking a few tiny steps, you build momentum and it feels good. Makes you feel 100. Like you're moving, even if your existing kind of situation
just chip away at it.
Isn't ideal. It is the minute that you, and I always say this to clients who are looking at career change, when you know, when they're thinking about making something, a really quite big change, the minute they make the decision, even though it might be something that's going to take them, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years, like it did me, to make the actual complete change, the minute they've made the decision and they've taken a step to move in that direction, they feel so much better. It feels like a weight's been lifted. Like, and if it's about the job, the day job just does feels like that. It just becomes a day job. There's no emotional weight attached to it anymore because not your forever. It's going to be, at some point you are moving in a different direction and that's your goal. And therefore you're not going to stay stuck on the same unfulfilling treadmill forever. You know, so whether that's a house move or a country move or whatever kind of change it is somebody wants, as soon as you decide it and you start taking steps, it changes the game and it feels brilliant.
And you probably already know what track you should be on, right? You know, your body's probably, you know, signaling to you what you should be doing. Just start to chip away at it, right? You know, you certainly don't need to do it overnight or, you know, in a day. It can, you know, it can take as long as it needs, but get on the track that you know that you should be on and, you know, make moves towards it.
Definitely. Well, listen, Dan, it's been fabulous having you on the show.
So good to see you.
Thanks so much for coming on and sharing your personal story and perspective. I think, you know, you've shone a real light on the importance of values and, you know, just in terms of confidence and intuition and just following a path to kind of, you know, your own personal happiness. If anyone is interested in learning more about you or DGPR's awesome services, like, how can they find you?
Good question. Thank you. So our website is dg-pr.com and our Instagram account is dangamblepr.
Brilliant. I'll include those details on the show notes too, so people can find you. So honestly, thanks so much. And that's
so
it.
Good to see you, Alison.
Oh, brilliant, my love. That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for joining us, and I hope it's provided some real food for thought and has got you thinking about your own values and kind of what decision and what impact they have on your choices and your mindset. If you know anyone who would benefit from listening to this conversation and Dan's inspiring story, please do share this episode. And until next time, just know that I believe in you and your ability to create the life and the career you really want. So go do your thing.
Thank you for listening today. I hope our time together has got you thinking about your own adventure in happiness. So please do get in touch. I'd love to hear more about your story. And why not join our Dream Chasers Unite community? There is nothing better than an adventure shared. Until next time, be brave and go create what you crave.